If it's possible, just to move it, like, over here, just so that I'm able to deal with this phone. Not on this phone, but okay. Thank you. We devote a tremendous amount of time in our life to tefillah. And I think of all the things that we do in Yiddishkeit, very often, that is the one that we are most like and we connect to least. Meaning to say, a person doesn't do business on Shabbos. Potentially, they might be sacrificing much more. Most people that keep Shabbos would never in a million years want to give up a Shabbos. Shabbos, what is life without Shabbos?
Yeah, try to explain this to the tribe.
No, but I'm saying once a person, I'm talking about us.
Yeah.
We understand Shabbos. Once you understand what Shabbos is, you enjoy Shabbos. Torah. So Torah depends. Some people do not connect to Torah. Some people do, but most people, when they learn, they feel good that they learned that week. If they go through a week that they didn't learn, they feel bad. Like
Jewish guilt.
But that, when it comes to Torah, they connect. Chesed certainly is that way. We have it in our DNA. We enjoy doing chesed. We like to help somebody out. I remember hearing from a balabas here in town. He said this sincerely. He said to me, now he doesn't have as much money. He had certain periods in his life where he was quite wealthy. He said, to me, giving tzedakah is a drug. He said, it makes you feel so good. And he talked was about tzedakah, he gave tzedakah. He said, it's a very good feeling. It comes to davening, we daven, certainly daven. We might feel good sometimes that we're going to minyan, because that means that we're acting Jewish and we're doing what we should do. But typically at the end of a davening, do we feel good? I think if we're honest, many of us, at least many times, do not feel so good. I remember a friend of mine that said a terrible line, but it really brought out a point. He said it half jokingly, maybe 30% jokingly. He said, I wish that there was some type of way that I could do tefillah on credit. He said, I'd love to just take Motzai Shabbos, sit down for a few hours, take care of 20 tefillahs, done for the week. He said, I wouldn't have any headaches. If you think about it, like we feel like, I have to get up in the morning, I have to get out, well, I have to go to daven. Then I'm rushing by davening because I have to go to work. And then mincha in the winter is like a real challenge. And just Eitz HaTeiva, daven mincha earlier. You push it off for later, it gets pushed off. You're able to daven mincha. Not kedai to push it off. You're having a lunch break, daven mincha. Look for the earliest time that's possible to daven mincha and get it done. And Mayriv, you know, have you ever gone to bed for whatever reason, you missed minyan or you were out of town or whatever the case was, and you go to bed and you realize, oh, I didn't have a ma'ariv yet. Ah, shalom, long time no see.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, yashkei. So, do you ever...
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just cleaning it out.
I'll move for you.
How did you get a cold? Perfect. So, and you have to get out of bed and go to Shabbos. Go to Meyer. You might feel good that I did the right thing, but you're not having that same feeling like most people, I think most of us, comes tomorrow, even tonight, you feel like, okay, I'm ready for Shabbos. Unless you work on Shabbos. I work on Shabbos, but but generally speaking, I think it's a normal thing that you think of, like, Baruch Hashem. I'm looking forward to Shabbos. Shabbos is Shabbos. And many mitzvahs are like that. Yet when it comes to davening, very often it's not like that. So because of that, I would like to focus on davening. Certainly this week, but maybe a couple times over the next few weeks. The pasuk tells us, Yitzchak married Rivka, and it's a pretty short parsha that has a lot going on. Vayetar Yitzchak l'Hashem l'noichach ishtoi ki akorahi. Yitzchak davened the other side of the room. Rashi explains l'noichach ishtoi. He was in this corner, she was in that corner. Ki akorahi, because she was barren. Why does it say Kiakorihi after David? If I was setting up a timeline, any of us would be setting it up, what would you do? Ela told us it's fine. Yitzchak was 40 years, he married Rivka. Vatihi Rivka Akara. Rivka was barren, she didn't have any children. And they davened, and then Hashem made her pregnant. You start off with the problem, you answer with the solution. Over here, it tells us what he did before it tells us the problem. Then it says, Ki Akari, why did he do it? Because of this problem. Tell us the problem, introduce us to the story. Tell us, they were married, as Rashi says, they were married 22 years. They were married...
10 and 10.
20 years, right, I'm sorry. 20 years, even though it should have been 19 in Cheshbon, but Rashi says 20 years. 10 years he was waiting for her to become of age that she can have children. Then another 10 years he waits to see if she's going to have children. Then doesn't have children, he starts to daven. So the whole idea is, for 10 years they were waiting for children. You know, they've been married for 20 years. She hasn't had children. She's not kara. Why doesn't it start off with that? It only says it like... parenthetically at the end, it says, he davened because she was an akara. So this is not my kasha. This is Rabbeinu Bechaya's kasha. And Rabbeinu Bechaya says a tremendous yisayin. And this yisayin, Rabbi Yeruchim talks about, I don't think he quotes Rabbeinu Bechaya, but he talks about this in other places. Sorry. Zakt Rabbeinu Bechaya. Hakosuv hayroy lahaktim loy marvti he rifka akara va'acher kach v'yeta Yitzchak l'Hashem k'akari. First tell us she was barren. First tell us she didn't have children. Then say he davened to Hashem because of that situation. But first introduce us to the situation. Listen to Rabbeinu Bechaya's teretz. Umash hikta matfila, the reason that it starts off with tfila before Yitochen Loimar. Shehiktim ha'ikr. It wants to preface with the ikr. The lamadnu, and we learned from this. Sheina kavona shetihia akrus sibas hatafila. The fact that she was barren is not what the cause of the tfila was. Then that means the cause is the primary, and it had a fallout. It caused something else. The reason she was barren was for the tefillah. What's the storyline? The storyline is, Vayetar Yitzchak l'Hashem. You want the punchline? You want to know what was going on over here? Yitzchak was married, and suddenly Yitzchak davened. Why did he daven? What was it based on? Now we'll get to that soon. So for that it says, because she was married. V'loy malachayim to tell us, shalei nesakra, as the Gemara tells us, she wasn't an akara. It's not like she was an akara and now he was able to get out of it with tefillah. The whole reason she was an akara was kidei sheyispalu shneim al hadavar. Was in order to get them to daven. What's the chicken, what's the egg? Over here, the objective was not to make her ois akara. It's not that she was barren, and the objective was to make her not barren, and they used tefillah in doing that. The objective was Hashem wanted tefillah. Hashem said, how am I going to get this form of tefillah that I'm looking for? Oh, got an idea.
Isn't that what we said about Adam Arishan and the rain?
Very good, yes. Yes, very much so. And we're going to take it a little further over here.
Matzah.
Very good.
Matzah is also.
What?
Matzah. We eat matzah. Not because we didn't delay, that's therefore become matzah.
That's a different shmooze. This is by tefillah. This is something specific by tefillah. V'zel shadar shadar. This is what Chazal tell us. Mipnei ma'an is akru, he ma'is mipnei shakarish poruch, misav le tefillos m'shal tzadikim. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make that the most that Rivka was barren? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted tefillah. So this is a very, very critical lesson in tefillah.
Is it to say that they weren't going to daven?
So first of all, what does it mean this way they'll daven? Before Yitzchak ever got married, he davened. Right? When did Rivka meet Yitzchak? As he was davening and instituting a tefillah. He wasn't just davening up like us, like trying to say some of the words of Mincha. He actually he made it. He wrote the book.
Different
what?
He had a different tefillah.
We'll get to this. Now, look at Rashi, and Rashi is even harder to understand. If you go to Rashi a little later, Rashi's explaining it says, Ben Shishim Shana Beledes Isam, that Yitzchak was 60 years old when they were born. So Rashi says, Yud Shana Mishinasa, Ad Shinasas Basir Gimel Shana, Ruy Lahirayan. There were 10 years from when he married her until she was able to become pregnant. The Yud Shanim Alalu Tzafa V'Himtinma K'may Sha'asa Aviv L'Sara. The next 10 years, he was waiting to see maybe she'll become pregnant. I don't know, he's become pregnant right away. Maybe she'll become pregnant. Kivin Shalonis Abra, when she didn't become pregnant after 20 years, Yodashi Akara, then he knew that she's an Akara, V'Hispal Alaha. Well, 10 years.
How old was she when she got pregnant?
23. According to this cheshbon, 23. Mm-hmm. Now, it might have been 22 in the 9 months, whatever. Somewhere in the 23rd year. V'espalala. So, when? At that point, then he started to daven. Before I saw this Rashi, if you would have come to me, and said, so when do you think Yitzchak started davening to Hashem that Hashem should bless him with kids? At latest, the night of the chuppah?
20 years later.
He did whatever his father did. He did exactly everything what Avram did.
And Avram didn't daven right away?
We know that he davened after 10 years, no?
He didn't daven before?
Maybe he did, but it's...
We're going to explain it.
Well, this is 20 years.
Huh?
This is 20 years.
Well, the first 10 years, he was just waiting for her to become old enough to become pregnant.
Okay, but he still didn't daven during
it. Right, so why wouldn't he daven? But he's saying the 10 years of her being married. But I'm sure Avram davened also. He davened, he was Mesakim Tfilas Mincha, before everything. So what does it mean? Now, if the objective of the whole thing was tefillah, so why didn't Hashem just tell him? Yitzchak, I command you. You know, he gave Avram Mila. You should have told him, I want to hear a tefillah from you. He had to make her an akara, and then he does tefillah, and then tefillah. What? Why all the shenanigans? I'm sure if Hashem would have told Yitzchak to daven, he would have davened. Hashem would tell us to daven, we would daven. Hashem does tell us to daven, but we don't feel it that much. But right? I'm saying, he would have told Yitzchak, I command you to daven. If that's what he's looking for, why didn't he do that?
Look at the word that was used.
Vayeter. We're going to focus on this. Very good. That's where you were heading also, probably. Okay, we'll explain what it means. You'll see. Zakt, the pshat, is simple. What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the tefillah? What does it mean that the akros is not the sibas ha-tefillah, the tefillah is the sibas ha-akros? What does that mean? So we're going to first start, just strengthen it with a medrash to bring out the same point, and then we're going to relate it to us in a very practical way. The medrash, we once mentioned this medrash a few years ago, I believe. Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael al Hashem. When they came to Yamsuf, so Klal Yisrael cries out to Hashem.
Say that before.
What?
I was going to say that before when you mentioned the vegetation.
V'lama asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahem kach. Why did Hashem do this to Klal Yisrael? So we're under the assumption the Mitzrayim were running after them. They were in a terrible shape. And through tefillah we got out of there. Through Amunah we got out of there. Whatever it was. The Medrash is going to tell us exactly the opposite. Ela shahiyah HaKadosh Baruch Hu misavah l'tefillah asa. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted their tefillah. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Lama Adavar Dena, L'melech She'ebob Adarech, V'yisabas M'lochem Tzeyek Esrei, B'vakoshim Imcha, Hatzleinim Yad Alistim. What is this comparable to? A king that's going on the road, and there's this princess that's crying out, please save me from these robbers that are attacking me. Shama HaMelech V'Hitzila. He heard, he came, he swooped her up and saved her. Lachayam B'Kish Tisa Yisalisha. He wanted to marry her. He wanted to have an ongoing relationship. He wanted that she should come to him and she should try to connect to him. She wasn't interested. So Me'asa HaMelech, what did he do? He hired bandits. He said, next time you see the princess coming through the forest, do me a favor and just give me a buzz before you do it. Attack her. And I'll come and I'll be the knight in shining armor and I'll save her. It's exactly what I wanted. I wanted you to plead to me. I wanted you to beg me to save you. Kach Yisrael. Same is true with Klal Yisrael. When they were in Mitzrayim and they were in bad shape, so Tzayek and they cried out to Hashem. It says, Hashem wanted to take them out now and wanted to connect to them. He didn't hear them crying out. So what did he do? Giraban Mitzrayim, he got Mitzrayim to run after them. Mitzrayim really would have never run after them. Hashem staged this whole event in order to get us to cry out to him. And suddenly by Yamsuf, it says, Uparei Hikriv, we saw ourselves between the epitome of a rock and a hard place. We didn't know where to go. We were right in between the Mitzrim and the raging Yam and the scorpions on the side and the Chayas. We were suddenly in the foxhole and we cried out to Hashem. That's just what I wanted. The Shmaya Kolchem. I wanted to hear your prayers.
So then why does Hashem say Mati Sakalai?
Excellent, and maybe we'll get to it. Excellent. I think there's a very important point. Which maybe
not
we'll
the time. That's
yeah, but the problem is what do you mean? If this is the whole purpose, how could you say now is not the time? Hopefully we'll get to it. The answer, I think, is very simple. If I ask you for a favor, can you please ask me for $100? I'm asking you for a favor to ask me for $100. So I can maybe get you to ask me for $100. So ask me for $100. Okay, you want me to ask one? Can you give me $100? If I ask you to plead from the bottom of your heart that you so desperately can't do without my $100, and you're begging that I should give you that $100 because you need me to give that $100, will you be able to do it? You can maybe do some acting. You can't do it because it's not true. You're going to manage without $100 from me. You don't need, you want me to make you feel good, I could say it, but it's not true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Atira. What is Atira? What is this lashon of Vayetar? Hirba v'hiftzir b'tfila. It's pleading and begging excessively. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted not just that we should say, we very often look at tefila as an email. And unfortunately, the way we write it is more like a text. And we just hope HaKadosh Baruch Hu can figure it all out. Because all the time, there are things being swallowed up in the, you know, shorthand and so on and so forth. But basically what we're doing, we're saying all these words. Got it out? Done. That's not what tefila is. What is the most basic halachic necessity in tefila? Being an imid b'fnei HaMelech. You have to be standing in front of the king. That is the most basic etzem of tefila, which we'll probably get into maybe next week or a couple weeks. So, a person could go to davening, could daven, and really didn't daven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Yitzchak to connect, to be Vayetar Yitzchak. Did Yitzchak say tefillahs the whole time? Did he hope to Hashem? Did he ask Hashem to help him? I'm sure he did. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu misavel at tefillahs and shal tzaddikim, he wants to have that connective type of tefillah, that tefillah that I'm completely dependent on you, I can't manage without you, I need you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, come through. That's very different than a tefillah where we say, Hashem, you know, please just don't mess me up. I got this all taken care of. My business is working. Just don't mess me up. I know you can mess me up. Please don't. Or even worse. That's worse than a tefillah where I have no idea. Say, I love the other today. Did I know that? Did I not know that? I don't know. Did they? Where did I daven today? Yeah. I was, that's a lot worse. But what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking for was that connection of tefillah. That tefillah of complete dependence, complete reliance on Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm begging you. Now why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want that? So here is where Rabbeinu Bahai is telling us a tremendous insight. Picture for yourself a Mashulach coming to you. And he starts to tell you whatever he starts to tell you. And you take $10 and you give it to him. What's the rest of the story?
You apologize.
Gives it back,
So lots of times what might happen is, no, can I have to tell you what's happening, and he'll beg and plead. And if they really are desperate, they'll just keep on begging and pleading. And let's say he begs and pleads that I should give him $100. I'm not really in a position to give to a tzedakah. I don't really know. I'm not giving out that much tzedakah that I, $100 just to a random individual. He pleads and pleads, and I feel so bad, and I just want to get this nudnik off my head already. Okay, fine. Here's $100. When that is done, I don't feel good. I did something that I didn't really want to do. I did it, though, because I felt my arm was twisted. And the whole purpose, why did he go through that, was because he needed $100. He's really desperate. He didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy it. What was done was something I didn't want to do. And the purpose of it, though, the objective was to get as much money as possible. So that objective was met. That has nothing to do with tefillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give us everything right away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lots of times wants to give us everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us more than we love ourselves. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world that he wants us to connect to him. I'll give you a mashal. And I'm not saying that this is right, but you'll be able to relate to the mashal. You have sometimes a baby. Leah and I, we have some babies at home. You have a cute 1.5-year-old baby, and you want to schmooze with him, you want to interact with him. He's not interested. So what do? You take his pacifier. He said, "You want your passy? Okay, come here, give me a kiss." Now, I'm not saying it's the right thing to do. I'm not justifying that it's the right thing to do. I'm saying, anybody watching it, what's going on over here? The father wants to relate to the child. The father wants to connect to the child. The father wants to build up a relationship with his child. Or let's say he doesn't take away a passy. He'll take something and say, "You want it? Okay, come here and I'll give it to you." What is he doing? He's trying to make a connection. He's not trying to say, "I really..." Is that the same as the story by the Mishloach? No shaykhus. He would give it right now. What? It's carrot. What does he care? He'll give the carrot. He hopes that the child's going to eat it. It's not... Afterwards, does he feel bad? Well, I had to give the carrot because I made up. He ended up doing it. So that was the whole objective. You'll come over to him and he'll say, "Why? So you're down a carrot." "Well, what are you talking about? The carrot wasn't the point. My child gave me a kiss. I'm on a hike today." HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the same with tefillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in limiting what we get. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in making it difficult. HaKadosh Baruch Hu care. It bothered HaKadosh Baruch Hu more that Rivka was an Akara than it bothered Rivka or Yitzchak.
Isn't it selfish?
HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that the best thing for us is to connect. Just as a good father that's not doing it for a selfish reason realizes that it's good for the child to build up a relationship with the parent. Now, I'm not saying that the parent is on that madriga, but really it's very important for the child to build up to that level. What Yitzchak was saying, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Yitzchak, "And my objective is here to have a relationship with you. I want you to get to the point where I'm desperate. I'm desperate. There's only one place to turn. I couldn't call it back. Abishta, please help me." So now let's take it a step further. Let's say a person has that type of situation. They have a very desperate situation, very difficult situation. Somebody is very sick, and they're davening and they're davening and they're davening and they're davening. And then the person dies. They're having a very difficult situation in Shalom Bayis. They daven and they daven and they daven and they daven. And the Shalom Bayis is no better. There's such a difference based on how we look at tefillah. If we look at tefillah like that, Mishulach begging, so then it was all for naught. I wasted so much time. What did I do? So yeah, there might be a svara that the tefillah will work for later on. We're not discussing that tonight. But essentially, here I begged Hashem, and it didn't work. Like that Mishulach. Let's say he begs and begs and begs and begs, and he opens his heart up, and he embarrasses himself and everything. And I tell him, I'm sorry, I can't do more. I feel terrible, he feels terrible. He feels much worse. Here, I opened up like that, and he still didn't do it. I can't believe it. Sometimes people have that type of feeling with tefillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I begged you. I came to Minyan for so many times. I mamish cried my heart out to you. How did you do it? Why didn't you save the person? But if a person really understands what tefillah is and understands that tefillah is not about
results.
The siba is the tefillah. The purpose, the objective, what you want, the result is the tefillah. So now, why things worked out the way they worked out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked them out. That's an issue of emunah. You have to work on your emunah, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did what he did. We have to also believe our tefillah can make a difference, otherwise we're not really pleading. And that's also a lesson learned out from here, as the Rabbeinu Bechaya continues. He says, V'oid lamadnu, we also learned from here a tremendous yisayid, that you can have an akara, and she can change through tefillah. We have to recognize the power of tefillah, which again we're not discussing tonight. But if a person realizes that the tachlis is the tefillah, the tachlis was for me to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Baruch Hashem, it worked. I davened like I never davened before. I felt closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than ever. Person goes through Yom Kippur. They feel a closeness. They realize it's not just a question of how the coming year is going to come out. They feel a certain closeness. Tefillah is to feel la'imid lefnei ha'melech, is to feel that kesher. I'm talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm opening my heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That itself is creating a relationship between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the tachlis hanirtza. That is the objective. If something didn't happen, that's an emunah situation. We'll discuss emunah a different time. That has nothing to do with tefillah. The tefillah was not a means just to get out of that situation. The situation was there to force me into tefillah. If we realize what tefillah is and that tefillah is a tachlis, then I think we would look at tefillah very differently. That bacher that asked, oh, I wish we could do on credit and just do 20 in one shot. You know, I want to relate to Hashem. It's not an issue of processing some from some paperwork. Yeah, paperwork. I wish I could just one day take off an afternoon and just polish off all my paperwork. Why? Because I hate paperwork. Paperwork, the only tachlis in the paperwork is what it's going to do, that it takes care of the bill or so on and so forth. Over here, the tachlis is talking to Hashem. We go into Amayrev now. Talk to Hashem. Relate to Hashem. Walk out of the Maariv different than you walk in. I walked in not having related since Mincha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now I'm getting a chance to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu again. Hashem wants to talk to me. We're building up a relationship here. That is the Tachlis. Oh. Very good.